Indeed, I am the Buddha in the crown. The crown chakra of this planet, where I hold my position, my office as Lord of the world. Looking for the petals of the lotus blossom to unfold, the 6 billion and more petals of all those on earth who are part of the beautiful lotus flower of God. My beloved, it is with great joy that I speak this day, for the work that has been accomplished throughout this conference, culminating in your rosary for the unification of East and West, is indeed significant for this continent of Europe. For through your giving of your pure hearts in love, I have been able, along with many other members of the Ascended Host and many angels, to clear away a very significant portion of the ancient records that have separated and divided Europe into two camps of East and West. For my beloved, as you see a division between East and West on a planetary scale, surely you have seen that division here in Europe until very recently. And so even after the material symbol of this division came down, namely the Berlin Wall and the Iron Curtain, even after that, there was a blockage in the emotional, mental, and even the lower etheric realm that prevented a true reunification and integration between East and West, and thus there has not so far been the optimal flow of energy between these two regions of Europe. Yet, through the work that has been accomplished at this conference and by those in Europe who have given Mother Mary's rosaries, we have been able to clear the emotional blockages, the blockages on the emotional realm. This is a very significant step, and as the work continues by people individually and by future conferences that I trust we will hold on this continent, we can surely move on and clear other levels. So, my beloved, for Europe to fulfill her role of serving as an ambassador for world peace, there clearly must be integration between East and West, even between North and South. For if Europe is divided, how can she be an ambassador for peace, a voice of reason? Thus, my beloved, the integration of East and West will now be accelerated thanks to the clearing of these emotional energies, this blockage that has truly prevented the people in Europe from forgiving, from letting go of the past. And you will see a change in this area. You will see greater openness, greater willingness to look at the past, to learn the lessons that need to be learned, and then to forgive. Truly, my beloved, with the expansion of the European Union towards the East, the nations of Europe have opened up for the physical exchange of goods and services, even of people who move between East and West, either to give their expertise or to find jobs. And so, with this greater exchange, you will see even more of a breaking up of the barriers and much more of an integration and even the beginning of a sense of oneness. That sense of oneness that has been lacking from this continent for so long because it has been divided into so many different nations that were always warring with each other or in competition with each other. It is obvious that the nations in Western Europe are far ahead economically, technologically, and to some degree politically compared to the nations that used to be behind the Iron Curtain. Yet, one should not overlook the fact that the Eastern nations also have a significant contribution to make to the future of Europe, not only in terms of creativity, but let me especially point out the obvious fact that most Western nations have become so materialistic that they dare not truly think and talk about religion and its role in society. This is very obvious when you see how the conflicts created by refugees from Islamic countries has been handled, or rather not handled, by many Western European nations who did not even know how to have a constructive debate about the role of religion in society. My beloved, the Western nations have almost become impotent when it comes to openly debating religious issues. And this, of course, is not a sustainable situation, for as you have heard from the previous masters who have spoken here, without true spirituality, there can be no true government. The only solution to the situations in the world, the only solution is God government. But how can there be God government without God? How can there be God government in nations that are afraid to talk about God, that are afraid to talk about the possibility that some universal spiritual teaching about God's law could provide the very foundation for a free democracy that must recognize that the people have rights that are not given by the state, but given by an authority that is entirely beyond any human power, and thus cannot be corrupted by any human power plays. So, my beloved, this is where the nations in what was formerly Eastern Europe have a valuable contribution to make, because these nations were under communism for so long that they know what it is like to live in a country where the state forbids them to practice any form of religion and even persecutes those who dare to be religious. Thus, you will see that the eastern part of Europe is currently going through a greater degree of spiritual awakening that you see in the West, and if this can truly gather momentum and become a true spiritual awakening rather than being a religious awakening where the Eastern people are trapped by the old religions. If it can become that true spiritual awakening, it can truly spread to the West and reestablish the balance that there should be between God government and the secular form of government. And this, my beloved, has become much more of a realistic possibility after the clearing of these emotional barriers. For truly, there will be a freer exchange of ideas, thoughts, and feelings, where the people will feel freer to express their feelings. And even the people in the East will feel freer to express their feelings about what they see as a materialism and as anti-spirituality in the West. And thus they will gain the courage to stand up and witness to their realization that a government that denies God cannot avoid becoming a tyranny that suppresses the people. This, my beloved, is a universal law that anyone who is willing to take a look at history can confirm. Certainly, you see many examples of a government that does not deny God and has still become tyrannical. But my beloved, if there is some recognition of the existence of a higher authority, then there is at least a frame of reference that is beyond human power and human definition. For as you have discussed in your discussion this afternoon, there is a level where people are entirely blinded by the consciousness of duality. And in that level, they are only concerned about competing and warring with other human beings. They have created their own definition of what is right. And that definition says that they are right, and anyone who is different from themselves is automatically wrong. And so if two nations or two civilizations have such a dualistic definition of right and wrong, how can they ever avoid a conflict, and how can they ever resolve a conflict when each side is guided by a dualistic man-made definition of right and wrong? So, my beloved, there must become a willingness to reach beyond duality, to reach for a higher definition of right that is not defined by human beings or institutions, that is not defined based on the consciousness of duality, where any idea must have an opposite. You see, my beloved, when you rise above duality, you clearly see that there is something that is unreal. But that which is unreal is not in opposition to that which is real, as that which is humanly wrong is opposition, it is in opposition to that which is humanly right. That which is unreal is simply unreal. It is outside reality, separated from reality, but it is not and cannot be in opposition to reality, for that which is real can have no opposition. Nothing can threaten that which is real. Thus, the first step on a spiritual path is to reach for something beyond duality, and that is what Jesus expressed so beautifully when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Seek ye first the higher right of God. This is also what I expressed in the definition of the Eightfold Path. So many Buddhists have misinterpreted the Eightfold Path and believe that it can be defined in human terms. What is right livelihood? What is right action? What is right thought? What is right association? And so on. But you see, the true definition of the Eightfold Path is that you reach for the right of God that is beyond duality. But how can you reach for that right, that higher right? Well, you can do so only when you realize the noble truth that everything that springs from duality causes suffering, and that the cause of suffering is wrong desire that is based on an attachment to the things of this world, be it the sensual pleasures or the desire to be right in a human sense and feel that you are better than those whom you define as wrong because they are different from you or hold opposite views than you. Oh, my beloved, there are so many people on this planet who spend their entire lives seeking to establish this sense of superiority, of being better than others. They always see themselves as being in competition with others. And this goes from the so-called ordinary people who are, as the saying goes, seeking to keep up with the Joneses in having better houses, bigger cars, and more material goods. And it goes all the way up to the people in the power elite who are seeking to have more power than those other people in those other power elite groups with whom they are comparing themselves. My beloved, you can spend lifetimes on this senseless quest of seeking to be thought right among men, or you can reach up for the reality of being right with God. Yet, in order to be right with God, you must be willing to consciously and willfully choose to let go of your attachments to the things in the material realm. For as long as you are attached to being right with other people, to being popular, or not to be seen as an outcast or ridiculed for your beliefs or your lifestyle or your actions, as long as you are attached to anything, any appearance in this world, to your standing among human beings, then you will not be free to grasp the higher right of God or to express that right. So, my beloved, I taught 2,500 years ago that non-attachment is the key to peace of mind. And that teaching is true. It is timeless. It is eternal. Yet, as Jesus has pointed out, there is no teaching expressed in words that the human ego cannot pervert. For anything expressed in words can be taken by the dualistic mind and interpreted according to this extreme or that extreme, or even the false concept of a middle way as something that is right in between the two dualistic extremes. So you see, my beloved, even the concept of the middle way can be misinterpreted. For truly, I never told people to come to the midpoint between the two dualistic extremes. I taught them to transcend the entire scale of duality, the entire consciousness of duality. And this is the essence of Buddhahood. Yet, to transcend duality, you must be willing to let go of the desires, the beliefs, the attachments that spring from duality. And thus you must come to the point where you love the right of God more than the right of man. And this must in the end be a conscious decision you make. Truly, not everyone is ready to make that decision, but certainly those who are the spiritual people are ready or can quickly become ready. And if you will contemplate these concepts, you will come to a point where you feel a spontaneous inner surge of love for the higher reality of God that suddenly makes it easy to let go of some attachment. And once you realize how easy it is to let go of one attachment, you can build a momentum on letting go of the attachments as quickly as you see them. Now, my beloved, as you discussed this afternoon, it is not necessarily easy to always know what is right with God. And the reason for this is that there is no outer rule that can be given in this world for what is right according to God's absolute reality. For each situation, each person is different. And so, in one situation, it might be right to do one thing. But in another situation that might seem similar based on outer appearances, it may be right to do what seems to be the opposite. And thus you cannot know this by setting up rules with the analytical mind who loves to create labels and say that under these circumstances you should always do this and under those circumstances you should always do that. My beloved, this will not work, for then you have pulled yourself into the realm of the intellect, which can only operate in the field of duality. Yet, you can attain much by consciously working on non-attachment. For truly, when you are non-attached to the outer appearances, you will not be tempted to respond according to a human standard for what should be right in this or that situation. You will then be able to reach up for the higher reality of God, so you will spontaneously do what is right. Yet in order to do what is right with God, you must realize that non-attachment is not the same as indifference. My beloved, if you will study my life as the Buddha incarnate, you will notice that I walked a path of attaining complete non-attachment to the things of this world. And then, after having attained that non-attachment, which is commonly in Buddhist terms, called enlightenment, I still faced an initiation that many Buddhists do not understand or even look upon. For I faced the temptation that the forces of this world said, "Oh, but what you have seen, what you have attained, is far too advanced and complicated for the people on earth. You will not be able to explain it to them. They will not be able to understand it. None will understand you, so don't bother to go out in the world and bear witness to your truth. Just stay in nirvana and leave the world to the forces of duality. Do not attempt to enlighten the people, for they will not understand." Well, my beloved, I passed that initiation only by connecting to the I am that I am within me, to Brahman himself. And through that connection, I got the clear impulse. Some will understand. And I went out and started preaching my truth. And some did indeed understand. Thus, you will face the same initiation. First, you face the initiation of attaining non-attachment to other people's reactions, so that when they reject your light, your God flame, your truth, you are non-attached to their reactions, and you do not allow their rejection to become an excuse that the ego can use to trick you into turning off your light or being quiet about challenging the unreality on earth. Yet, in attaining and working on that non-attachment, you will then come to the temptation of thinking, what is the point of seeking to enlighten people when they are so far down into the consciousness of duality and seemingly are so uninterested in anything spiritual? And my beloved, it is a delicate balance to remain non-attached, but at the same time not to become indifferent, not to give up, not to become a pacifist who just sits there and lets the world do what it will do without challenging what is unreal. And each of you must find your own balance. For I tell you, there is an idolatry in the world which thinks that it was easy for me to walk the path and pass my initiations and then find my balance and go out and preach my truth. Likewise, they say it was easy for Jesus to pass his initiations and then go out and witness to his truth. But I tell you, it was fully as difficult for Jesus and myself as it is for you. You see, my beloved, we all have certain elements of the human condition that we must surrender and overcome before we manifest a higher state of consciousness. And the human conditions that each of us has is precisely those conditions that are the hardest for us to see. So Jesus was not born in the fullness of his Christhood, and I was not born in the fullness of Buddhahood, as is clearly seen in our lives. Therefore, we too had to overcome our own points of blindness that we could not see, and precisely that which we could not see was as difficult for us to overcome as it is for each of you to overcome that which you cannot see. Do you see, my beloved? It is such an illusion to think that Jesus and I and other spiritual masters were above you and that it was so much easier for us. For indeed, it was not easy at all. But the fact that we made it should be an encouragement that you too can make it. For as has been the motto of the Ascended Host for a long time, what one has done, all can do. And in this age, we might say, what one is being, all can be. For truly, it is not doing that is the key, but being. Thus, my beloved, let me give you at least one hint of how to go out and bear witness to the truth, how to let your light so shine before men that by seeing your good works, they see that it is not the outer person that is the doer, but the light of God within you that is the true doer. In order to do this, you must be non-attached without being indifferent. So let me give you the key that if you will strive to remain at peace, even when you are challenging other people, then you will always be in the higher right of God. So examine yourself. Are you reluctant to challenge others? Do you feel fearful, guilty, or have other negative feelings when you do challenge others? In that case, you might consider that you still have some attachment to an outer appearance that is preventing you from challenging others with the true inner peace of the Christ and the Buddha who have attained complete non-attachment. And then you just look at that, you work on it, you go to the core of it, and you let it go. My beloved, do you seriously believe that Jesus and I did not have any remnants of the human ego when we were born? I know very well that there are many people in Buddhism and Christianity who believe in this idolatry. But it was not so, for we had indeed elements of the ego, attachments and spiritual blindness that we needed to overcome. And how did we overcome it? My beloved, it did not happen in one glorious moment of breakthrough into nirvana, as some teachers portray it. It happened one little step at a time. Much of this has never been recorded because it was an inner path. And at the time that we both gave forth our respective teachings, humankind was not ready to understand the intricacies of the human psyche that people in many areas of the world are capable of understanding today. Thus, we could not even teach it at the time, and we had to give forth a simpler teaching that was adapted to the consciousness that people had back then in those far darker times. Yet I tell you that in today's age you have the teachings and the tools to systematically overcome every attachment. And when you lock in to your own higher being, to your own God flame, and know that you are that flame and not the outer personality or the ego or the body, or the person that other people have created in their minds, then you will be able to come to a point but you are willing to let go of any attachment as soon as you see it. And you know that no matter what might come up, you will be willing to let go of it. And this is the true hallmark of a true spiritual seeker who has begun to find that which so many still seek without knowing what they are even seeking. And thus, even though you are not necessarily completely free of attachments, you can still attain the inner peace that it passes understanding, because it is not based on any outer security in the form of having bigger bombs or bigger cannons than these other nations, or even the false intellectual security of thinking that because you belong to this or that religion or this or that scientific worldview and understand all of its concepts intellectually, you are sure to be saved. No, my beloved, it is a peace that is beyond all outer appearances, that does not depend upon any conditions in the material realm, and therefore cannot be taken away by any conditions in the material realm, no matter what happens. This is the inner peace that I desire to see all of you have, and this is the inner peace I had attained before I started my mission. Yet I must tell you that you will make faster progress if you are willing to bear witness to the truth that you see, even though you may not yet see the highest truth. For my beloved, Jesus and I had to set forth certain examples, and so we withdrew from the world until we had attained a consciousness that allowed us to fulfill our mission. But precisely because we were meant to set up examples, we also faced a tremendous opposition to those missions that you do not face individually, because in this day and age, it is the priority that many people walk the path together instead of just one person being the forerunner. So each of you individually is not facing the same opposition that we faced, which is why you can start bearing witness to the truth even before you have attained complete non-attachment and peace of mind. And indeed, by doing so, you will make greater progress than if you withdrew from society until you had attained a higher state of consciousness. So be willing to bear witness to your truth, even if you are not perfect, even if you are still disturbed by other people rejecting you. For if you have that courage, that willingness, you will surely make much faster progress, especially if you are willing to look at yourself and say, "Ah, but why was I disturbed by other people's reaction? Is there not an element of the ego hiding behind that disturbance? And so if I look at it, can I not expose my ego and then surrender it?" Indeed, my beloved, you who are here and who went through this exercise of giving the rosary the way you gave it, can look at yourselves and say, "Was I fully comfortable and at peace by standing up and reciting a part of the rosary? Was I fully expressing my God flame, or was I still concerned about other people's reactions, or getting the words expressed right?" My beloved, if you discover such concerns, look at them and say, "Why did I feel disturbed? Why could I not be at peace? For after all, If I am expressing my God flame, then why should I feel disturbed about any appearance? You see, my beloved, the peace you need to strive for is that you can bear witness to your truth and let your light shine, no matter the outer conditions or the reactions you get from other people. You are not disturbed. They do not take away your peace. You do not feel rejected because you have no attachment to how they should respond. You simply allow their free will to work itself out and leave it up to them whether they will accept or reject the higher truth that they have now seen in you. And when you can have that non-attachment, nothing will disturb you. Nothing will take away your peace. And my beloved, I do not want you to think that you are so far away from Buddhahood that it would take you the rest of your life or even years or decades to attain that inner peace. For it is not so for most of you. You can attain that inner peace in a relatively short period of time if you will make use of the teachings and the tools that you have, and if you will ask questions of each other and of the two messengers who have attained a very high degree of non-attachment and inner peace, and ask how others have attained it, and then share and help each other come into that sense of inner peace. This, my beloved, is a realistic goal that you as a worldwide community can attain if you will openly put your minds to it. And so, as my final message, I hurl that challenge at you. Take the tools you have been given, the rosaries, the ego discourses, but also be willing to talk about this openly and ask questions. And help each other, inspire each other, and be willing to be open and honest with each other and say, I think you still have an attachment, and that is why you are disturbed about this. Let us see if we together can discover the cause of that attachment, so that it can be surrendered into the flame of ecstatic peace. Thus, my beloved, I have had my say, and while I have spoken, I have indeed released an intense momentum of my flame of Buddhic peace that has moved like a wave over this continent to consume a certain portion of the consciousness and the records of war. Thus, I too am grateful for your presence and for the manifestation of this conference, that I might have an open door for bringing forth this action that is much needed. Thus, in gratitude, I seal you in the flame of Buddhic peace, and I ask you to accept your potential to be the Buddha before you think it is possible. My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. So be at peace by being in the peace of the Buddha, by being the peace of Buddha. It is sealed.